In this section, Peter Collins is asked what people in outside communities can do to help prisoners. The following is his response. In regards to outside communities, what can people in the outside communities, people who are free, what can they do to help prisoners?
Well, I've been thinking about it a bit, and, you know, it's a very difficult question to answer. You know, I don't want to offend anybody's sensitivities or sensibilities, but, you know, I feel that there's very little support for prisoners in Ontario. I've noticed that there is some help in Quebec and British Columbia. Quebec, I think, being a bit more progressive than, you know, anywhere else in Canada in regard to human frailties and, you know, responses to crime.
Do you have any ideas, though, what you would like people to do? Or what they could do, feasibly?
You know, I think they could write to their members of parliament suggesting that they want to live in a society that has intelligent responses to crime and punishment, that doesn't just simply drive people into the ground and destroy people and then, you know, throw them back out into the community. I don't know how much people know about the corrections system, but, you know, the correctional branch of the government is a lot like I was when I was a young man, you know, slash child. Somewhere between the ages of 12 and 30, I got caught in a slow learning curve, and I thought I had all the answers and refused, for the most part, to acknowledge any wrongdoing on my part. You know, a very imperious place to view the world, but slowly as I grew into and past my mid-20s, I began to see that I wasn't right about a lot of the things and, in fact, was getting a lot of it wrong. So I began to change and grow, and now as I reach the, you know, the ripe age of 42, I can look at them, the system, collectively, and see myself as a younger man, and they seem unable to grow up. Like, I want to answer this question carefully and considerately for the people who already rage against the machine, you know, and all its racial, economic, political, ecological, and gender insensitivities. I can only say that I admire the strength that they show in their refusal to acquiesce to the status quo. But one of the most important things that I've had to remember is, you know, not to turn into the thing that I hate, you know, the opposite side of that coin. So, you know, I don't mean to come off in an arrogant sort of way. I'm just speaking of my own experience. You know, things got worse and worse, and as I traveled down my road, I cornered myself, you know, into this prison cell for life. And, you know, I can only look back and reflect on what I should have done with my energy, which is help with troubled youth or do some kind of field work to, you know, save endangered animals or something like that, something positive. So, actually, you know, I guess how does this tie in with what people can do to help prisoners? I don't know what to tell people who are already socially aware. It's, you know, it's as useful as preaching to the converted, so... But for the people who may be listening and may think they want to contribute to changes in our current system but don't know how to go about it, we seem to be living in a country that's currently on a backslide in the way it responds to social ills, and our government representatives need to hear that you want to live in a fair, reasonable, and responsible country. We need to ask our government representatives to base policy upon expert and informed opinions. Currently, our sentencing is some of the highest and most repressive in the world. We're placing more young offenders in custody than any Western country. Experts indicate that after 10 years of imprisonment, the point of possible benefit from that punishment is reached, and going past it causes permanent damage to the prisoner. So, you know, I guess I'd caution you to put aside the mainstream media version of life in a Canadian prison. You know, it's not Hollywood and it's not a picnic. There's death and despair dripping from the walls of Canadian prisons. So, you know, don't be swayed by the government propaganda. There's, you know, there's a lot of effort gone into writing pretty books explaining how the job of the CSC has changed from that of a turnkey to the now titled correctional officer, as well as the design of the modern prison. You know, architecturally, these buildings now resemble college campuses instead of dungeons, but the job they perform doesn't change. It's still a place of significant torture in spite of what all the carefully manicured flower gardens along the pathways belie. You know, people are destroyed in these places, less with the physical torture these days and almost always with a heavy reliance on psychological destruction. I don't want to come off too partisan here. I'm not so narrow-minded that I don't see that there are people in the system that try to be fair and honest and do their job without coercing and manipulating or forcing prisoners to degrade themselves. But the fact is that these people are often shunned by their fellow workers, and subsequently their advancement through the CSC ranks is stifled through a correctional community subculture. It's clear that being helpful or nice to prisoners in the CSC is not a good career move for any staff member. You know, this is not to say that most of them are mean all the time. They're not. Oftentimes they'll be nice to one or two prisoners, and in this way I suppose they assure themselves to themselves that they're not correctional hooligans, and thereby don't sleep over being harsh or unfeeling toward the plights of others. More importantly, I suppose, to them, other staff also won't label them con lovers and ostracize them or damage their career. The question at hand is how people can help prisoners. I just wanted to sort of give a bit of backdrop. I suppose some kind of consistent and concerted effort to have politicians lower the minimum sentencing grids for lifers, because all research points to the fact that more than 10 years in prison is likely to permanently damage a human being, no matter what pastel shades a cement wall is painted. You know, this is not to say that lifers should just get out after, you know, without demonstrating that they're interested in and have committed to changing and becoming a law-abiding citizen. You know, that they have remorse and they've paid a price for their crime. But there should be a more reasonable approach to prison as a response to crime in Canada. A more informed, realistic response to parole, especially since the vast majority of lifers never commit a violent crime again in their lives. We need a vocal and intelligent response to the reform party mindset that advocates punishment that treats people more harshly, building more prisons and throwing away the key on people. This response to crime will only marginalize more and more people, and we need to wake up the politicians and remind them that as Canadians we want, you know, humane, intelligent responses to crimes, advocating more emphasis on a restorative justice approach to violations of the social contract, whatever those violations were. You know, we need to remember that prisoners will eventually get out of the prison system and they will be back on the street. And we need to remind society at large and the politicians that prisoners are people's family members, people who have made mistakes and are paying for those mistakes. Their lives are in crisis. Sometimes the people in prison are also wrongfully convicted, and the growing list of wrongful convictions already discovered are just a few of the amount. It would appear to be a really huge problem in the justice system. But even those who are not wrongfully convicted, the problems that led them to prison are not being addressed while they're in prison. You know, and these problems run the human frailty gamut from self-esteem issues resulting from childhood sexual abuse or verbal abuse to socioeconomic factors. Sometimes the problems are related to cognitive distortions as a result of learning disabilities and other mental development issues. Sometimes the cause is prenatal drug or alcohol abuse. Sometimes, you know, the causes can't be identified, but, you know, they're still there. In Canada's prisons, we're getting more and more prisoners who have essentially been thrown out onto the street from the psychiatric care units that they would normally receive, you know, from as a result of provincial and federal cutbacks to the mental health care infrastructure. It's not unusual to find persons, you know, with a limited grasp on reality confined in a penitentiary or a provincial reformatory because they can't function on the street without psychiatric assistance. You know, with that said, I certainly don't want to mislead the public by implying that the mental health care system is a cut above the prison system, because, you know, the information I've read about the psychiatric wards, you know, nothing scares me more than this, because once they label you clinically anything, it seems that you lose your voice. In prison, you know, our voices are simply muffled, but, you know, I'd be afraid to be in a psychiatric ward. But realistically, people with psychiatric problems don't belong in the dangerous hallways of a penitentiary. So, you know, their crime isn't the same as ours, you know, if theirs is a crime at all. So, I don't know, I suppose from a grassroots discussion about shedding light on a system as dysfunctional as our current correctional system is, I'm not entirely sure how people would mobilize a response like this. acquiring the facts would be a start, and driving the point home to our politicians would have, it would have to have some effect over the long term. But I'm not certain how lobby groups function in serenading Ottawa politicians, but some equal type of approach would be worth some investigation. And I guess letter-writing campaigns would still be effective. Politicians, by law, have to respond if they receive a letter. And if they're being told by citizens that those citizens want change, then perhaps that may start a small ball rolling and it may get bigger. If people are going to write letters to the politicians, they should be addressed to the Prime Minister, the Solicitor General, the Justice Minister, as well as their opposition political counterparts in all the parties.
So what you're saying is it would be a really good idea if people could collectively mobilize to do like big letter campaigns and everything like this.
Absolutely.
to help reduce these extremely harsh life sentences. And there's also the fact that for lifers, when they do get out in Canada, they're always on parole for life.
Yeah, they're always on parole for life. A lifer is, the warrant never expires. So if that person was, doing anything wrong, they could just be placed back in prison. It just seems like a quarter of a century minimum sentence is quite excessive. So yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying. If some kind of, concerted effort were put in place, I don't know if a website could be dedicated to detailing some of the problems, and if that website contained methods for people to weigh into the fray, perhaps a letter to members of Parliament online that people only needed to fill in and then print and then send to them would generate some responses. And letters to MPs in Canada require no postage, so long as it's going to the Parliament, you don't need to put a stamp on it. It just requires your time and effort, I guess.
Do you have anything else to add, Peter?
Yeah, just a little bit, and that's that maybe someone out there has some suggestions or interest in helping to set up this venture up, and I'm open to hearing from people, and especially in taking advice, suggestions, or any assistance to forward that agenda.
Well, thank you very much, Peter.
Thanks. You're very welcome.